Seminary family. What a joy and what a privilege it is to be in the house today. Amen. It is always a blessing to be on this campus and to share God's word. As I look out this morning, we bring to you greetings from the Lake Region Conference. I educate our ministerial director, Dr. Mike Horton, is in the house today. Kindly stand, let the brethren see you. The Egan Ministry, amen, amen. And again, it's a joy and a privilege to be here. I was remarking to Ada earlier that I preached over at PMC a week ago this past Sabbath. Then I preached there again on Thursday, last Thursday, for a funeral. Here I am again today. So this is my third speaking engagement on the campus in 10 days. So it's like I never left. Thank you, Dr. Moskala, for the kind and gracious words of introduction. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 7. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Fire in my bones. Father God, speak to us a word of hope and encouragement just about now, we pray. Amen. He's an intriguing study, this Old Testament prophet preacher. He attracts and he rebuffs simultaneously. He pulls us toward him even as he pushes us away. On the one hand, we admire him. On the other, we don't want to be like him. If we were to rank the prophets of the Old Testament in terms of positive outlook or attitude, he would come in dead last. Without question, he is the most pessimistic of the prophets. Negativity and gloominess are almost synonymous with his name. Were he to enter this chapel today, just about now, the lights would go out, or at least be dimmed. Jeremiah could cloud up the sunniest of days. It was his lot to prophesy in a time of unprecedented apostasy. And we hear the prophet over and over challenging God's people to turn from their evil ways. He was tasked with the daunting responsibility of prophesying again in a time of unparalleled recalcitrance and sinfulness, that he gave it his best shot is beyond question. And he is to be credited with some of the most moving and poignant passages in Scripture. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? What poignant and comforting words. Then there is the imagery of God's people being transformed from brokenness to blessedness that he captures and conveys in chapter 18 of the book that bears his name. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel. Can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, then torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. What poignant and encouraging words. I declare, I submit that because of Jeremiah, and through him we have some of the most sublime passages in Scripture. For I know the plans I have for you. Let's just talk to somebody just about now. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you will seek me with all your heart. Anointed at conception, called from birth, he initially tried fleeing from God. Like Moses, he feigned a lack of communication skills. He claimed that a speech impediment disqualified him from the preaching profession. He argued that he was deficient in the area of pulpit prowess and proficiency. Yet, God called him. God appointed him. God anointed him. God ordained him. He was sanctified prenatally and ordained from eternity. Was God crazy? Did God not know what God was doing? Compounding or exacerbating this prophet's call was the fact that his emotional state presented some challenges. He isn't called the weeping prophet for nothing. Jeremiah was always complaining, forever crying. His eyes were always brimming with tears. He seemed to be always awash or bathed in tears. Hear him complain in Jeremiah 12 about the justice of God. Disheartened, distressed, disillusioned, disturbed, and dispirited, he blurts out, "You are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. Why do the wicked prosper?" If I may paraphrase and make this more applicable on this occasion and to this situation and time, I would have Jeremiah say, "Lord, why haven't I received a call? Lord, why have some of these seminarians whom I know to be unconverted some of these folk who I know to be cheats? Why have they been picked up while I am still waiting? Lord, I know for a fact that so and so is into this and that, yet he has gotten a call. Me, I'm still waiting. And all I've ever done is study hard." "I've never cheated. I've been honest. I've never plagiarized. I've never been called into the dean's office for academic dishonesty." "He did. She did. Yet he has been called, she has been called, while I am still on the sidelines waiting. Why does the way of the wicked prosper?" Why do the innocent suffer? The time came when Jeremiah had had enough. The cup of Jeremiah, like that of Elijah, was full and running over. So Jeremiah decided to call it a day. "Forget it. I quit. I don't have to put up with this stuff. I will not subject myself to this indignity. These people will not listen. These people will not be led." Jeremiah decided to put in for early retirement. "Oh Lord, you deceived me. And I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. The word of the Lord has brought me nothing but insult and reproach all day long." Did Jeremiah have grounds to level such a charge against God? When he was called and commissioned by God to prophesy, he was painfully aware that the times were evil and that the assignment would be fraught with danger. Yet Jeremiah was optimistic that God would protect him. In the opening chapter of his book, he states as such, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Our sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." I will rescue you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, not now, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overthrow you, for I am with you and will rescue you. That's what God promised Jeremiah. He was commissioned to stand in the gap. But what happened? How did things turn out? We know how things turned out. Without a doubt, Jeremiah's career as a prophet was a saga of struggle and sadness. When he penned the words of a pericope, Jeremiah was a prisoner who had been humiliated. He had been flogged like a common criminal and committed to the stocks to be ridiculed and jeered by those who passed by. Can you see him in your mind's eye with me this morning? Beaten physically, emotionally, and psychologically, he is a heap of hopelessness. Can you enter into his feelings with me today? He wants to call it quits. Ellen White writes, Jeremiah's message to priests and people aroused the antagonism of many with boisterous denunciation. They cried out, why has thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Priests, false prophets, and people turned in wrath upon him, who would not speak to them smooth things or prophesy deceit. Thus was the message of God despised and his servant threatened with death. Contrary to what he entered ministry thinking would happen, Jeremiah has suffered the greatest ignominies. If ever there were a prophetic flop, it was Jeremiah. He has been the brunt of contempt and derision. Nobody has paid him any mind. Failure and frustration have been his lot. Folks seem to hate him, some for no reason at all. It is far from surprising, therefore, that the prophet is drenched in sadness, overcome with despair. O Lord, you deceive. My final sermon has been preached, God. The benediction of my career has been pronounced. The curtain has dropped on my service record. Goodbye, God. Here are my credentials. I've tried to be faithful, yet what has been my reward? Indifference, obstinacy, betrayal, opposition, backbiting, backstabbing, gossip, rumors, hatred, disloyalty. I'm out, Lord. I'm out. With heavy heart and depressed spirit, the prophet from Anathoth is calling it quits. Pastoral pessimism has gotten the better of him. He has indicted the God who cannot lie for deception. He has challenged the God who does not make a mistake. He has questioned the God who is perfect in all of his ways. Can I bring this home now? Can I? I think I can hear somebody sing here today. Somebody seated before me. Lord, you set me up. Lord, you brought me to Berrien Springs when I didn't want to come. Lord, you brought me to this strange land. You convinced me that you had anointed me. You told me to come, that things would work.
doubt that there would be a call waiting for me at the other end. In fact, you told me there'd be several calls. Now there is none. And I feel like a fool. Oh, Lord, you deceived me. Oh, Lord, you let me down. I was duped. I was conned. I've been misled. Who of us has never cried, "Oh, Lord, you deceived me"? Jeremiah wanted to quit preaching. He wanted to throw in the towel, to return to fishing, as it were. Can a preacher quit on God? Can a preacher quit on God? Not if the preacher has been called from eternity. If a preacher can walk away from ministry, it may simply mean or be because the preacher had walked into ministry on his own prerogative in the first place. You cannot end what God started. An uncalled preacher may quit, but not a preacher who's been anointed and appointed by God. What did the Apostle Paul say? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. God wasn't finished with Jeremiah. So we hear Jeremiah saying, but if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Jeremiah found out that you cannot suppress the irrepressible. You cannot quench the unquenchable. You cannot quell or quiet the voluminous. You can't quit on God. His word is a burning fire in our bones. You have to preach it. You can't help it. You have to preach it. It's your calling. You have to preach it whether or not you are paid. You have to preach it whether or not you receive an official call from a conference. You have to preach it. You just have to preach it. It's like a fire. Shut up in your bones. God's word is quicker than a two-edged sword. God's word is a refining fire. God's word is hot, hot, hot. God's word is a burning fire in our bones. It's like Abraham's fire atop Mount Moriah. It's like Moses' fire there when God said, take off your shoes. It's like Elijah's fire atop Mount Carmel. It's like Isaiah's fire from which a live coal was taken to place on his lips. It's like a fire in our bones. To the Pharisees and Sadducees, John the Baptist declared, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Dr. Luke says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The fire still burns. I have this burning in my bones. Oftentimes, I'm tempted to leave my post of duty, to throw in the towel, to call it quits, but I have this fire in my bones. Sometimes I'm tempted to stay at home, but I have this fire in my bones. Every time I mount the sacred desk, I hope and I want to be on fire. If you see me jump or raise my leg, it's because I'm on fire. There's fire in my bones. When I open my mouth, I'm on fire. What I want to do this morning, what I want to do every time I get into the sacred desk, is to set the place on fire. set it on fire. God's word is like a fire in my bones. I can't hold it. I can't keep it. It's a fire that's blazing. And so I preach. I want to be a gospel arsonist. Set the place on fire. His word is in my bones like as a fire. And so today, as our time has run out, I want to challenge you, be on fire. Whether you receive a call or not, come on, talk to me, somebody. Thinking of calling it quits, thinking of saying to God, God, you deceived me. I'm not going to preach. No, his word is like a fire that you can't quench, quell, or suppress. Be on fire for God. And may God bless you as you preach God's word. Father God, Holy God, we thank you today that you called us into ministry. Some of us may have been unsure on receiving this call. But like you said to Jeremiah, we were ordained, we were called, we were commissioned, we were set aside by you before we even knew ourselves. And you brought us to this place of growth and learning, formation and transformation. Many of us have not received that call, and we might, like Jeremiah, be a little discouraged here this morning. Oh God, may this word speak hope and encouragement to our hearts. Keep us faithful, oh God, we pray. And may your word be in us like a fire that cannot be put out. May we burn for Jesus. Set churches and communities on fire for our Lord. So that day when Christ will be seen coming may be hastened. And on that day may each and every one of us hear from his lips the words, "Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world." Do it, O God, we pray, not because we are worthy, but because you are worthy and because of your grace. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it all in your Son's name and for his sake. Let all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you.